Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. International Institution. Yes, this is a live broadcast for Jehovah Jireh, and we are in the midst of touching the lives of people that are able to make a difference in the lives of billions of people. Yes, it only takes a person, just one person, to make a significant difference in the lives of God's people. When I think about Jonah, how God used him to go to Nineveh to declare that it was going to be destroyed in a matter of 40 days. He didn't send a crowd of people, but he sent Jonah to in a commission to make a difference, to let the people to warn them, to let them know what their judgment was going to be. And because of the fact that they heard the man of God, they turned away from their wicked ways and they began to walk upright before God. And it's the same as it is as being a witness, as being an ambassador, as being a soul winner, that it is important for us to obey God, to walk in his righteousness, to do those things that God has called us to do in order to for a soul to be saved and a life to be changed. So today, here Jehovah Jireh, at Jehovah Jireh International Institution, we want to bring you in and bring you up to where the school, where this mission has been taking many for the past several months, to be able to make a difference in your life. And we are thankful to the Most High God that God has given you that passion, that God has given you the heart for souls, the heart that you want to make a difference and to be stand up boldly to proclaim the word of God. For the word of God said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So today, we want more laborers in the vineyard. We want more laborers out there making a difference. I think I've shared this before. Many times I've read the word, and when that scripture is being quoted, that it really does something on the inside, even when I think about it, about the laborers being few. There's not many laborers that are going out. Not as many as it should. Yes, I know that there are millions of people that are on the hedges on the highway, but just think about the people that are not saved. Just think about the people in your town, on your street, in your neighborhood, on your block that are not saved, in your place of employment that are not saved. So we here at Jehovah Jireh want to make a difference in your life. So today, the Bible says what we're doing, we're going to do it in the name of Jesus, and we're just going to go in prayer. Students, just get ready. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for all that you have done, all you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And by word, how we hid in our heart that we will not see. Father, we thank you, Father, for all that you have done. Father, we're going to thank you, Father, for embracing us, for giving us, to make us stable. God, to give us a greater knowledge of your word and to give us what we need so to be able, God, to bring others into the kingdom of heaven. So, God, we thank you and we praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We do want to thank God, as always, as well, with our online communicator staff, those that God has called, those that have been in ministry for quite a while, that have the anointing upon their lives. We want to thank God for the instrument of righteousness that God has given in order to make a difference, to be able to speak into the lives of God's people through the word of God, through what they have been going through to get where they are, and for the love of God. So we just want to, before we begin, we thank God for evangelist Pondalia William.
We want to thank God for Prophetess Cardona, Sandra Cardona, and, of course, Dr. June Normil, that has been with us for a long time on other broadcasts as a well, and as one of the directors, matter of fact, of Jehovah Jireh International Institution. So what do we want to talk about today? We want to talk about reaching souls for the kingdom. And we want to talk about the unreachable majority. And yes, some of the unreachable majority are young people. But Jesus said in John 21 and 15, Jesus said unto them, if you love me, keep, you will feed my lamb. Well, the population of the world is increasing. There are 4 billion increasing by 65 and increasing by 65 million souls a year. First and Foreign Mission claimed that half of the world population, over 2 billion people, have never even heard the gospel. So you ask why we do what we do. You ask why we have a heart for souls. You ask why we're going into the hedges and the highways. You ask why is it important for people to be saved when we hear that there are 2 billion people that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, over 2,000 language groups, people that have different languages, and over 170 million people don't even have scripture paper. They have, you know, sometimes we take for granted the tracts and the Bibles that we pass out. Some people take them and you give them a Bible, a New Testament, or a regular Bible of both the New and the Old Testament here in the United States of America. Sometimes people take that and they put it on the shelf. They put it on their coffee table. They'll put it as decoration in their car. But they won't read it when the Word of God says, instead of just show thyself approved unto God, a woman of God need not be ashamed to write and abide the Word of truth. I tell you, the death statistics on a worldwide scale, when you look at it, it could be very frightening. Why? Because 119,520 people, they die each day. That's stagnating. 3 die every second. Over 1 soul second enter into eternity. Around the clock, year in and year out. This may seem like it's vast to relate to, but let's bring it home to just the United States of America. The U.S. population is now 220 million. When the last study, when I did the last study on this, the U.S. Census shows that over 50% or over 110 million Americans are under the age of 25. Over 50 million are between 15 and 25. And there are 3.3 million yearly births in the USA each year, over 10,000 each day, while 1.4 million die yearly in the United States of America. One dying every 20 seconds around the clock. The majority of these, they are young people. Look at this, the statistics, and you will see, and you can judge for yourself why we need youth ministry and how why we need to concentrate on reaching the lost, reaching those that are not only the youth. It's stagnating to know that we have youth that that in the statistic, but yet at the same time, think about all of the youth that their lives are being lost, and some, many of them do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Over 1 million in the United States. There are 1 million in the U.S. abortion per year, and the majority are young people. Listen, over 1.5 million suicides each year. The number two cause of death under 25, the majority of them are young people. That's why it's a necessity that we reach them. Yes, they may be on drugs. All of them not on drugs. They just some of them not saved. All of them not fornicators and homemothers, but they're just not saved. And it's important that we get the word out unto them and to let them know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that God's word says, for God so loved the world that he gave, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you not know over 1 million that are in mental clinics, and the majority of these, they are young people? Over 1 million divorces per year, and the majority of these are what? They're young people. Over 500,000 junkies, millions, a majority of them are young people. Over 5,000 are behind bars. These can be lawyers, teachers. They can be airline pilots. They can have such a promising commitment to God. Preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But some of these, they are behind bars. They have committed serious crimes, and they are. And these are under 25 years old. And the majority of these are young people. Over 10 million alcoholics in the United States. And the majority of them, yes, you're right, they are young people. Homosexual and gays, they both, listen, they both, 10 million in the U.S. And the majority of these are young people. So the point being tonight that we want you to look and see where we are here as being fishers of men, being one that care, because I realize that there are many that are listening from state to state. I don't know, some of you that may be listening to the live broadcast, you're in so many other states. We don't know exactly what state that you may be in, but we know that you are from different states and even in close until where we're located here in Jacksonville, Florida. But no matter where you may be, it doesn't matter. There are people that need to be saved. Jesus said that the broad way leads them to destruction, and many of the majorities are entering in that way. Read Matthew 7 and 13. Now, if the majority of the U.S. citizens is over 110 million under 25, then the majority of the souls that are dying, there are over 50 souls alone since we've been talking about this in the last few minutes. Jesus said that majority of the dying die without Christ. They die and they go to hell. And the majority of these are young people. And that's why we mentioned some of the people that are in trouble. And some people, we mentioned about some of the atheists, addicts and alcoholics and astrologers and beatniks and all of these people and people that are members of cults and drag teams and all of these. But yes, they are rich. Some people are rich. Some they are poor. They are some middle class people, they come, you name it, some in white collars, some blue collar workers, some, you know, they no matter what, some poor, some black, you know, some white, some yellow, it doesn't matter, some red, but yet these people need to know Jesus Christ. So we're going to go to Dr. Normiel And we're going to ask Dr. Norville to give us an overview of what God is saying to you and what, based on what we just said so far in the discussion, we would like for you to comment on what God is saying to you at this time. I believe that I'm not sure what is quite happening. We're having some audio difficulties, but yet we realize that all is well. And we're going to continually to ask our panelists for Jehovah Jireh to go ahead, and you may need to redo what you have done. Having some issues for some reason with me getting to you on tonight. Don't understand why, but we're going to go ahead on. And if you need to redo, everyone, what you did at first, go ahead and redo that, because I'm not able to come to you at this time for some unknown reason. I want you to just think about what God is saying to the people and how he wants for us to make a difference in others' lives. God certainly has made a difference in our lives, so therefore we need to make a difference in other people's lives as well. So what I'm saying to you on tonight is to allow God to speak to you and to impart to you that which he has given you. And those that are beginning this walk, newly coming into the relationship with Jesus Christ, want to know more, want to go into the harvest, into the hedges and the highways, we would like to thank you for just tuning in for this live class on Jehovah Jireh. We want you to know that we certainly appreciate you. Now, we've talked about Christ being our stepping stone. In Psalm 142:4, David said, listen, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. He said, refuge fail me, no man careth for my soul. Have you ever been in a place where no man careth for your soul? No man didn't take the time to say that Jesus loved you. No man took the time to say that I'm with you, that I want to make the difference by telling you who Jesus Christ is in my life. So today, this is very important. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop at this particular time because there is, I think that we may not be on air. I don't know how many people are actually listening or can listen to us at this time. But it doesn't seem like, even though this is a live broadcast, we are not connecting, and I would like for everyone to be able to hear what we are saying. So we're going to, at this time, stop, and I'm going to redo what we need to do and see can we come on live. Give me about a few minutes, and we're going to see what is happening here on this live broadcast. So therefore, we want to make sure that you are connected. Even as it's important that we be connected unto Christ. And even as it's important to those that are supposed to be listening to this broadcast, that they too can be connected so they can hear what we're saying tonight. So what I want to let you know that David says in the 142nd verse, a Psalm 4th verse again, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld there were no man that would know me. Refuge fail me, no man care for my soul. And we want to pick up the word because we were saying that he felt that no man cared for his soul. And it's important for us to know that somebody cares for our soul. Somebody is hearing. Somebody is listening to what we are saying. It's a terrible thing to know that there's nobody there. I can imagine a person that's out in the streets, on the hedges, on the highway. Even they may be in the best hotel that is here in the United States of America, but yet to be lonely, to feel that nobody cares about them, nobody concerned about them, it's not a good place in order to be. And I believe that is where the Word of God wants us to know, that we don't have to really feel that way. We have to deal with truth, and we can't pretend that things are not the way that they are. But there is an answer to every area of our life. There is an answer that we can know that Christ will make the difference in our life. And that, yes, that Christ will cause the peace will be upon us, because there are many people that do not have peace. They don't have peace because they do not have Christ. But this young man said, I could have died and gone to hell, and who would have cared? In the words of King David, he said, no man careth for my soul. I want you to know that the highest compliment that you can give to another person is to care for their internal soul. I believe that is worth you noting, write it down to remind you that we need to care for others' soul. He said when he was rejected, he was an outcast of this, another young man said he was rejected. He was an outcast in high school. He came home after school. He was crying and he was pounding his fists on the wall. He was confused. He was frustrated. Because why? Because he thought that no man cared for his soul. Well, in 1967, hundreds of thousands of runaways and confused young people were seeking peace, joy, and love. I mean, we could say same day in 2014, there are people out there that they are seeking peace. They are seeking joy. They are seeking love. They need the love of God. They need to know that someone cares, that someone concerned about them. Yet out of America, 250,000 congregation, 400 churches in San Francisco alone, no man cared for his soul. This is where this young man was, and this is the testimony that he had. No man cared for his soul, and consequently, he found that this young man was seeking. He never found that the ideal and the spiritual reality we were seeking, that he was seeking. And that is what a person that don't know Christ, they don't know sometimes what they're seeking for. When that's loneliness on inside of them, when that's an emptiness, when they feel like life is not worth living, when they think that the best thing for me is to take my life. Why should I live? Nobody cares. Nobody loves me. We got the mentality of people today that in the same type of mindset, they don't think anyone cares for their soul. I want to be able to speak to have our panelists speak to us on this class. We are still having some technical problems. I cannot go to them for some reason. And again, we do want to thank them. Want to thank Evangelist Pandalia Williams, and we do want to thank Prophetess Sandra Cardona and Dr. June Normia. But because of a technical problem, we are having some difficulty. Well, they never knew what really love was. Have you ever been in that place where until you find Christ in your life that you really didn't know what love was and how you can have that everlasting love, that love, the word of God, the God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, he was talking about how he had crossed a miracle over 20 times in 4 years, traveling from Europe four times, rubbing shoulders with countless thousands of people, and God knows how many Christians that he rubbed shoulder with. But the point being is, all the Christians that he rubbed shoulder with, they didn't take that interest. They didn't care. It seemed like they didn't care. That no one took the time to introduce Jesus to him, to let him know how much Jesus loved him. And he thought that no man, that's a miserable thing. That's an awful thing to know that no man cares for your soul. When we look at the cults and all the cults that out there, they're out there consistently recruiting these people that think that nobody cares for them. So why? Because the Bible says the devil comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, and they're trying to do what you're not doing. And they're not only trying, they're doing what the agenda and what the satanic forces that are sending them out there to do what the believers are supposed to be doing. So what is their what is in their mindset? Well, nobody cared for me, and this person, we were talking about Gerald Ford, I believe, on that two classes ago last week, and we were talking about this this woman that was and she probably still locked up, that they tried to assassinate President Gerald Ford. This girl was just sitting on the corner. This Manson guy came, and she got involved with him, and she did it because she just wanted somebody to care for her. You know, she did it because she thought that this, you know, even a dog wants someone, an animal, and you know, wants somebody to care for them. And no matter what anybody else thought about her, he showed her something that she apparently was connected to him when she should have been connected to Jesus. Well, how could she get connected to Jesus if nobody's there to connect her? That's the point I'm trying to make. So this man walked across America. He said he'd gone four times across America. All these several times he's gone across America. He crossed the Golden Gate Bridge. He contemplated on committing suicide by jumping off the bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. There are many people thinking the same way. What is it for me? Why am I here? What am I accomplished? What am I doing? Who loves me? Who is in my life? Who's showing some love and affection towards me? who really care whether I live or die? You know, so, you know, while we're in our warm homes and our beautiful houses and our comfortable places that we live and our beautiful churches and the red velvet seats and blue seats and the brown seats and whatever seats you may have or in leather seats or wherever they may be, and we're comfortable, the people's on the outside. And it's a cry for help for them, because they need to for somebody to show love for them. They need somebody to know. They need to know that somebody cares for their soul. And the thing about it is, thank God that it was all after all of that time, somebody came and someone cared for this young. They showed him Jesus. They showed him the love of God. They showed him support. They showed him that, you know, you don't have to, in other words, you don't have to commit suicide. You don't have to live in distress. I can show you through the word of God, and I can give you love through the word of God. God loves you, and God cares. And we have to really kind of think on those lines. You know, sometimes I believe that we have so much on our mind every day sometimes that we fail to remember about other people. And I'm glad that you are listening on this evening, you know, wherever you may be, whatever state that you may reside in. I'm glad that you're listening, because these are some things that I believe that is very, very important for us to know, how that we should know about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is to reach out. The word of God said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus told the disciples, as a father, send me, even so I send us into the world. He sent us to reach the unreachables and touch the untouchables. So, therefore, it's a thing that we need to know and that we need to practice even the more as being stewards, as being a witness for the kingdom of God. Now, when we look at some things that we were actually discussing on last week, we looked at some things that we need to keep in mind. We've talked about from the beginning of what Christ is in our lives and how he is involved in our lives. But the reason why we're here on a day is for preparation. And whatever we do, we'll prepare ourselves. And that's why I believe that you're listening and you're part of this class, because of the fact that you want to be prepared and you want to know what God has for you. Now, there in preparation, there are 3 to 4 different areas that we want to address, and we talk briefly about the mental phase of it, spiritual phase, and the physical phase of it. When we talk about the mental phase of it, we talk about the knowledge of the scripture. And I so would have liked it to have our panelists to come and to speak to you on today, that they can also give you some awesome relate facts and according to the word of God that will cause you to be strengthened and will make you bold and strong. And it caused you to be courageous and to want for you to be able to eat more of the word of God so we can be strong in him. Well, let's talk about the mental part, because of the fact that we kind of mentioned that on last week. We talk about in the mental area, the mental stage, it is the having the knowledge of the scripture. Well, the word of God says it is show thyself approved to God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly by the word of truth. So it's important that we know the scriptures. If we don't know the scriptures, No, you can know my name. And my first name is Mary. But if you haven't spent any time with me, then you don't really know me. You have to fight that you know my name is Mary. But if you haven't spent any time with Mary, that's all you really know, a few things that you really know. That's why it's important that you can know that but Jesus' name. And my name is nothing compared to the power and authority and the to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And his name is Jesus. That name has power. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't spent any time with him in his word, in his prayer, and in prayer, and getting to connect and getting to know him, and to be built or to be strengthened, then you don't really know him. That's why it takes preparation. That's why it takes time for you to eat. You ought to eat your a meal, a daily meal of practice, reading the word of God every day. How many times do you eat a meal a day? Is it one time? Is it four times? You know, normally we can eat three or four times a day easily. Well, it's so important that we read the word of God. And not only just to read it, but to meditate on it, because that's what Joshua said, to meditate on the word day and night. So therefore, we need to be able to meditate on the word day and night, because when we meditate on it, it getting in our inner spirit, in our thoughts, and God is giving us revelation of when we come and go out into the hedges and out of the highway. Because as we mentioned before, there are people that are out there that I'm telling you that they may be backsliders or they may have been incarcerated or they spend their time reading and some of them are backsliders, but they're not living according to God's word. But these people, a lot of them, they can tell you the letter of the word. They can tell you the word of God. They can tell you. They may not be living it, but they can tell you. So, and they will, if you don't allow the word of God and the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you, the enemy will try to use that sometime in order to come against you. But that's okay, because you are strong and you're going to eat. And you're going to grow, and you're going to perfect your walk in Christ. So we need to have the knowledge of the scripture. And we need to understand the gospel. And that's the second thing under our mental aspect, is to understand the gospel. Gospel is good news. I mean, every time I read the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm just reading all of these fantastic, awesome things. Well, it builds my faith. And you know what? You know what, class? I want that ever-increasing faith. I thank God for faith, because the word of God says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But you know what? We ought to have that ever-increasing faith, that faith that increase, and grow. And that is what we need, and that is what God wants us, not to settle for to have a little faith. I know that the word of God says that we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Say that a mountain be thou moved, it said it shall be moved. But we can't just stop reading the word of God and just say, I know Jesus, and I know maybe I know about David and Goliath, and I know this and that. But what do you really know? Study the Gospels of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about reading the whole Word, which is from Genesis to Revelation. But I'm talking about right now, in order to be a really effective witness as well, you need to read the Gospel to see all the things that Christ did, and all the disciples, all the miracles, and all the healing, all the deliverance, you know, that he did, because it built our faith, and we can know that, hey, Jesus did this, his disciples did this. Oh, God has no respect of person, so therefore I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in this because I want the God type of faith. And then The third one is to have attitude intake. We need the Word of God so we can have a great attitude. Attitude not to turn our nose up at people, don't have a patience with them, don't know how to relate to them. Because I believe if you read the Word of God and the love of God come inside of you, you're going to know how to relate to people. Your tact will be intact because of the fact that the attitude that you have will be not your attitude. Just like Paul said, remember Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it is the Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. So therefore, we need a new attitude. We need God to continually to give us the attitude that is pleasing unto him. And number four under that mental strategy is that we need to have victory over fear. And I'm telling you, a student, that I'm telling you that if we don't read the Word of God and we don't build our faith in Christ and know who Christ is and know who we are, that the enemy will give us the spirit of fear. And God don't want us having the spirit of fear, because the spirit of fear has nothing to do with the spirit of faith. We have to have the know that we can walk in victory. And knowing Christ and exercising our faith every time that we read the Word of God, and we need to act on the Word of God. We need to act. What the Word says, I mean, act on it. Jesus did it. He said we're going to do greater work. We can do it as well. Now, number two, let's go under the spiritual aspect. We need to be certainty of our salvation. You need to know that you're saved. You need to know that you've been born again. You could be in the church 25 years, and you're not saved. You're not surely saved. I've dealt with people before, and I asked them, first I asked them, you know, I'm going to introduce myself, tell them what, you know, find out what their name is. They'll tell me what their name is. And then I may ask them, are they saved? And they may say, well, you know, I think so. You know, I think that I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. I think I'm saved. Well, I don't think they really know that they don't. They're really not saved. Because I believe that if you are saved, you're going to know that you are saved. You ought to know that your life has been changed. If you wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you ask me what my name is, I'm going to tell you Mary. Why? Because that is my name. I know that is my name. I know that's the name that my father and my mother had given me, Mary. So I'm absolutely sure about that. And that is the way that we need to know that our lives have been changed and we're born again and that we're saved. And nobody should be able to make you doubt that you are saved. So we need to make sure about certainly. If you're not sure that you're saved, you need to get saved before you try to witness somebody else or convert somebody else into salvation and to get them saved. You need to make sure that you are saved. And we talked about consistent Christian walk. And that is, I'm just kind of reflecting on what we said, because I believe that the Bible says faith come by hearing by the Word of God. So therefore, it doesn't matter how many times you read Mark. I don't know how many times I've read the book of Mark, but every time I read Mark, oh, I get another revelation. I get a new understanding. My faith is going there. Same thing with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, it builds my faith. And when I go into the other scripture, oh, my God, it's so awesome. It's such a life-changing experience. Why? Because God is speaking. God is giving me of his word. So we need to be consistent. We need to be consistent in our Christian walk. If we're not consistent in our, if we're not consistent in reading the word of God, we cannot be consistent in our Christian walk. And I hope you got that. We need to have the oil. You know how the virgin did? With five wise, five with foolish. We're having to actually, our time is almost up. And we do apologize again for our panelists for today. But I want to be able to, I can't stop because of the fact that that I want you to be able to hear. And we pray God on next week that our panelists will be back and you can hear what thus says the word of God through them. But you need to have, on the spiritual, you need to have a love for people. You can't win anybody if you don't love them. Well, you say, that's not my brother, that's not my sister, that's not my niece and nephew. But you know who they are? They're God vessels. They're God people that God wants you to change their life through your, through being a witness to them by letting your light so shine that others will see your good work and glorify the Father in heaven. You may not really spend an intimate time, and how are you going to do that if we're going to walk away from them? Are we going to snub them? Are we just going to not speak to them and not say anything? We're not going to witness to them. You know, a lot of things can keep you witness for a person. Well, let's take a rich person. Well, you may not have all the money that a rich person has. And you're thinking, well, you're not going to listen to me. You don't want to hear, she doesn't hear what I'm going to say to them. Well, that person, they can do that at very night, but you haven't even spoken to them about the word of God. You haven't given them a chance to receive Christ into their lives. They can be a person that, like the widow woman, when Elijah, when God sent Elijah down to the place where the widow woman was supposed to sustain it. She didn't have that much, but God wanted to do a difference in her life, and God wanted to build her faith. And there's things that God wants to do to other people. And if we don't be obedient to God, how are we going to do this if we are not obedient? So there, and we got to have a love for them. And the only way we can really love people is to love God. Because, you know, we're moving out of ourselves and we're moving into where Christ is and to letting him abide really within the innermost parts of our mind and soul and spirit. We have to be faithful in prayer. The word of God says that man shall always pray and not to faint. It's real. We've got to pray. We have to pray. You know, Daniel, he prayed three times a day. He didn't care what man said about him. He didn't care how they talked about him. And they was trying to take his life and cause him to be put in the lion's den because of the fight that he was praying. But yet, God delivered him, and God brought him out. And the same way that God brought him out, God will bring you out as well. He'll bring you out with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. Yes, God is faithful. So we have to be faithful to prayer life. We're bringing it almost to an end. And we have to have a compelling determination to do the will of the Father. I mean, a compelling. The word of God, the Spirit of God compels me to do what I do. The word of God ought to compel you as a believer to do what God has called you to do. And then we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Well, let the Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, live and abide within me, lead me, guide me, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. And the last phase of them, we had three parts. Remember, we had mental, spiritual, and we talked about physical, and this is within our discussion on tonight. And the And number one, three parts of this is to good grooming. We got to make sure that we are well groomed when we go witnessing to people, because what you the first look at you and you coming up to people, it is going to be a positive or negative. Number one, you ought to have the Spirit of the Lord. You ought to have the Holy Spirit in you. You ought to be saved. And good grooming is part of the what it is when you're going out, or you're in, wherever you are, in or out, in order to be a witness for the kingdom. It'll be very good grooming. Your breath, you ought to make sure and I know this may be elementary to some, but yet it's part of the teaching that you have to make sure that you are well groomed. And sometimes you have to break it down to people because of the fact you got to know where you're coming from. You got to make sure that your hair is combed, your hair is in orderly, your teeth is brushed, your breath smells refreshed, your clothing is. You don't want to look like a hooker, you know. When you witness to a hooker, you're not there to tell them the way they're dressed. You're not there to put them down. But at the same time, you don't want to look like a hooker. You don't want to look like a drunkard. You don't want to look like the world. And let's just put it like that. So therefore, you know, if we are telling people that God's going to make the difference in their life, and that God will give us the desires of the heart, and God will meet our needs. So therefore, and the word of God says, ask and it shall be given. So if we tell them this, and they're looking at us that, you know, we're the clothing that we have on, you know, is not clean. We're looking more like the world, and they're looking like in our pants, and it's hanging off our bottom and all of this stuff. How can we be a good witness for the kingdom of God? We need to have modest clothing on, and we should be neat. We would like to take this opportunity once again to thank our class, for our live class, for listening to this broadcast. Why don't you take the time to call Jehovah Jireh at 904-674-7831. And if you wish to, for us to pray with you, you wish for us to make remarks about the class during this period of time, you're more than welcome to do so. If you want to attend Jehovah Jireh International Institution, just call that number again, 904-674-7831. We'll again like to thank the women of God for their being here with Jehovah Jireh on today. Evangelist William, we'd like to also thank God for Prophetess Sandra Cardona and Dr. June Normill. Father, we thank you, God, for this online class. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you, God, for what you're going to do, God. We thank you, Father, and we come against every stronghold of the enemy, every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of darkness, every voodoo, black and white magic, anything, everything, God, that will silence the broadcast, Lord God, and silence the people, and to keep the people, Father God, from being blessed and keeping them, God, Father, going the higher heights and deeper depths and deep. God, we reach out to the converts, to the new converts, God. Father, those, God, that even just got saved by listening to this broadcast, because your words that we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, your words that they shall be saved. So, Lord, we praise God right now. And, God, we just casting our net for the draw. And, God, we just thank you for the deepness of your word, God, that they, the millions and millions of people, that they can hear the word of God. And thank you, Lord God, Father, even tonight, for all that you have done. And Father God, if those that any that are sick and have infirmity in their body, God, we send the word. We send it even now, God, that they'll be healed and that they will be delivered. And God, that they will be made free. And for this, God, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy from Jehovah Jireh International Institution. May God bless and keep you. May his face forever shine upon you.